In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. St. Matthew ends his gospel with our Lord gathering the apostles, the faithful apostles, to him before the ascension. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." And that's how Matthew ends his gospel, Jesus' words. "And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." This certainly gives us a great consolation, great peace. It should also give us great courage. "Indeed, Jesus, you are always with me. You've made that promise." And how good Jesus is. He never gives up on us. He's always with us. He invites me into his work of salvation. He sends me out, all of us. We're sent out. Like these apostles here, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Speak to the people. Bring the good news to the people. Salvation is at hand. There is reason for hope. Always there is reason for hope." And let's remember that, especially when times get a bit dark or very dark. God has been preparing us all along the way, hasn't he? "Although I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil. The Lord is by my side." Jesus, in a way, is affirming what is already known or should be known. And yes, there will be valleys of death, valleys of darkness in our own lives, in the history of the church, in the history of the world. What's my reaction? Do I take to heart these words of Jesus? "And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." He never gives up on me. He sends me out. He wants me to work, to bring good news to whoever might cross my path. And that's part of the very core of being a Christian. St. Jose Maria would say, to be a sower of peace and joy. And maybe in these days and that we're experiencing here in the world of the pandemic and in our country, and certainly in our own personal lives, whatever might be going on, we have to trust in Jesus. He is with us always. And yes, he sends me out. My life makes a difference, or should. My life matters. My life must be a certain icon of Jesus at work. Indeed, St. Paul, he writes about the intimacy that his life, that our life should have with Christ. It is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We must have the same mind as Christ Jesus. For me, to live is Christ. Well, those of us here making our prayer now, assuming most, if not all of us, are Christians or believers in Jesus Christ, we can examine ourselves a bit. Is that happening in my life? Is that true in my own life? Is it Christ who lives in me? Do I have the same mind as Christ Jesus? Is life for me really Christ? Now, the way I think, the way I discuss issues going on in the world, the way I treat others, is it Christ who lives in me? Maybe sometimes that's lacking. With everything going on, and perhaps people might even brush aside any supernatural outlook during these difficult times. Well, no, we have to answer with a resounding no. Jesus is with us. Lo, I'm with you always, to the close of the age. Suffering, yes. Life will have its suffering, its cross, its crosses. And even there, in a special way, Jesus is with us in those crosses. I must live a supernatural life. If not, I'm reduced to, well, St. Jose Maria would call it just two dimensions. We don't want to live in simply a two-dimensional world. In his book, The Way, one of his points, he says, people see only the flat surface. Their vision is two-dimensional and fixed to the ground. When you live a supernatural life, God will give you the third dimension, height, and with it, perspective, weight, and volume. Lord, grant me that third dimension. Help me to step out of my vision of just a flat surface, you know, my way of seeing things, and it's my way or the highway. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, the Holy Spirit, give me the gift of wisdom, and the gift of knowledge, dealing with the realities of this earth, the gift of knowledge, a wonderful gift to ask for in these days. How is my everyday thought process? How is my presence of God? How is my supernatural outlook? Which is not being dreamy and lazy. No, by thinking with the mind of Christ, well, look what Jesus did. He went about doing good, going from village to village, talking to the people, listening to the people, healing the people, attending to their needs. At times they did not have time to eat. Such was the work of Jesus and the apostles. So Jesus' call for a supernatural outlook, for living this third dimension of height and perspective and weight and volume, is not being some dreamy soothsayer. Jesus worked. Jesus was with the people. And we too are called to work with Jesus. And therefore, Jesus, help us, like you, help us to die to ourselves. Which does not mean dying to my God-given personality, or temperament, or talents. God wants to use that so that we be instruments of peace and of good news. In one of his books called The Forge, St. Jose Maria, he writes, I don't ask you to take away my feelings, Lord, because I can use them to serve you with, but I ask you to put them through the crucible, a purifying fire. Crucible is a purifying fire, so the gold be pure. So we're not asking the Lord to make us some sort of stoics, stone-hearted workers without any feelings. No, Lord, I don't ask you to take away my feelings. I can use them to serve you with it. Right? And now, and again, whatever might be going on in our life, fear with health issues with the pandemic or misunderstandings or even anger with what's going on, and it has been going on in our own country here in the United States. Things at home, conflicts at home, perhaps. Lord, I don't ask you to take away my feelings, but purify them, Lord. Put them through the crucible. Help me to be mature. Give me self-mastery. Come, Holy Spirit, give me your gifts, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude. Indeed, we are called to be workers in the vineyard. And if we do not die to self, if we don't, try to put to death sin, or the false self, as they call it, and all that comes with it, you just go down the list of the seven capital sins, I suppose, and even there is a chance for a little examination of conscience, right? Pride, anger, envy, sloth, lust, gluttony, avarice, could very well be part of my life. It probably is in different ways. And Lord, I ask you to purify that. Prayer, sacrifice. Well, our Lord says it so beautifully in John's gospel. It's something we should all strive to live. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And do I want to bear fruit in these days and reaching out, helping others, and the issues they might be dealing with the pandemic, with relationships, with their community? Well, am I willing to be that grain of wheat that must fall into the earth and die to itself? It's got to crack open, die, crack open so that fruit can be born. Or another way our Lord describes it, in this case, and we have it in Mark's gospel, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We want to save not our own life, but we want to help save lives. We want people to get to heaven. We want to be instruments in your vineyard, sinners that we are. But that we see that in the lives of the saints, their dedication, their zeal for souls, that they want souls to be happy. They want souls to be close to Christ. And without Jesus, without God, there is no hope, really. And once again, therefore, we must, Jesus, look to you. We must be another Christ. Not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And how do we do that? Well, with supernatural life. The way we think, the way we pray, the way we look upon other people. And not just paying them lip service. Jesus is very strict with those who just pay him lip service, but their hearts are far from him. Well, we have to love our neighbor, not just with lip service, but really love. Maybe I need purification. Maybe my heart perhaps needs purification to be put through the crucible. And therefore, we must have this supernatural life, strive for the supernatural life, this third dimension, not just seeing the flat surface, but, well, as St. Paul writes to the Colossians, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. The way we go about our everyday duties, our work, our friendships, our dealing with people, our conversations. Yes, we have to have our hearts raised up, looking for the ultimate truth and all the truths that need to be worked out here on this earth still. And frankly, until the moment of the second coming, we here on earth, we're going to be constantly struggling to figure out how to live as close to the truth as possible. We'll continue to fail. We have to keep trying. We have to try to improve. With God's grace, yes, we can make changes that will help people's lives. But we live on earth, not in heaven. We have to work out our salvation, St. Paul said. We have to bear the cross. We indeed must set our minds on the things that are above. And that is supernatural life. That is, well, as Jacques Philippe puts it, that is interior life. And of course, I'm sorry, interior freedom. One of his books called Interior Freedom. It was the account of, perhaps you've read it, this Jewish girl who was a young woman, Etty Hillesum, from the Netherlands. She was ultimately taken to Auschwitz, where she died in November of 1943. And she wrote a journal, I suppose much like Anne Frank. And as Philippe describes, when Etty began to write her journal, her moral life was far from edifying. She was emotionally vulnerable, had no fixed moral guidelines, and had had several lovers. She was, however, driven by a powerful craving for the truth about herself. That could be something to ask for ourselves and for our friends, for people, you know, a craving for the truth about ourselves. Who am I? You know, of course, Jesus asked those apostles in one of his conversations with Peter and the others, you know, who do people say that I am? They give some answers, you know, some of the prophets and whatnot. But then Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter gives that profession of faith. You're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And maybe our Lord can say to us, and who are you? Who do you say that you are? Well, let's crave the truth about ourselves, and it can get dark. It's humbling, perhaps humiliating at times. We all have our, in a certain way, maybe this life of Etty, the way she was living her life, her moral life, well, not all that edifying. Thank you. I mean, I'm not alone. Maybe I can relate to this. No fixed moral guidelines, emotionally vulnerable. But she had this craving for the truth about herself. Thanks to a friend of hers, a psychologist and also a Jew, she discovered, without ever becoming explicitly Christian, some of the values that lie at the heart of Christianity. Prayer, the presence of God within herself, and the evangelical invitation to abandon herself trustingly to Providence. Before she was finally deported to Auschwitz, while a prisoner in a Dutch transit camp, she showed a faith in God, courage in suffering, and a devotion to neighbor that demonstrated the reality of her spirituality, despite the dark areas in her life, her own personal life, her moral life, which she was willing to purify, and also the dark areas of her, well, captivity, of the forces that were against her from the external political system. And within that context, well, as the author says, it's astonishing to read how this young woman devoted herself to living by the gospel values she was discovering little by little. Just when all her exterior freedoms were being progressively taken away, she discovered within herself a happiness and interior freedom that no one could steal from her from then on. Yes, her freedoms were being abused, to say the least. Being, you know, cramped into this Dutch transit camp before going on to Auschwitz, where she would die. Freedom? How is she going to find freedom in that? But she did. She discovered within herself a happiness, an interior freedom. And here's how she put it in her diary. She describes a moment there in that transit camp with all of its terrible conditions. This morning I cycled along the station quay, enjoying the broad sweep of the sky at the edge of the city, breathing in the fresh, unrationed air. And everywhere, signs barring Jews from the pass and the open country. But above the one narrow path still left to us stretches the sky intact. You can say, the heavens. They can't do anything to us. They really can't. They can harass us. They can rob us of our material goods, of our freedom of movement. But we ourselves forfeit our greatest assets by our misguided compliance, by our feelings of being persecuted, humiliated, oppressed, by our own hatred, by our swagger, which hides our fear. We may, of course, be sad and depressed, but what has been done to us, by what has been done to us, that is only human, understandable. However, our greatest injury is one we inflict upon ourselves. I find life beautiful, and I feel free. The sky within me is as wide as the one stretching above my head. I believe in God, and I believe in man, and I say so without embarrassment. A lot of faith. That's a God-given faith that this woman took on. A freedom, an interior freedom. Although her exterior freedoms were being impinged upon to the point of death, ultimately, she had this interior freedom. I'm free. Yeah, it's much like Blessed Franz Jagerstatter, who also died in 1943. In his case, he's by his own people. Well, he's Austrian, of course. The German, the Nazi war machine took him in because he refused. He was freed. He refused to pledge allegiance to Hitler. And even when people pleaded with him, just say the oath, no one believes it, just say it so you can be free. And his response to that, but I am free. That interior freedom, his conscience, his being the man he's called to be in those difficult situations and the valley of death. And again, we look at our own lives. Am I free? Do I allow myself to be free? Do I allow God to give me the freedom of a son of God, a daughter of God? No matter what they do to me, I will strive, Lord, with your help, of course. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I will strive to be true to my conscience. I'll strive to live the faith. And so, yes, indeed, let's live a supernatural life in these difficult times that we're in, never giving up on God. He never gives up on us. And seeking unity. What does Jesus want as he's about to offer his own life for us? What does he ask the Father for? God the Father. What is his desire? Unity. Father, that they be one. As you and I are one, that they be one. Let's pray for unity. Yes, of all mankind. I guess it sounds dreamy perhaps, but what can I do at my level, with my friends, my acquaintances, perhaps even strangers, as I might come into contact with them? What can I do in this big picture? Well, let's strive to live, of course, the commandment of love. Love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Pope Francis, in his first apostolic exhortation, the joy of the gospel, and Lord, help us to spread this joy in these difficult times. He has a section called Unity Prevails Over Conflict. And this might help us in our own lives. Again, whether it be at the international level, at the national level, in my community, in my family, unity prevails over conflict. Conflict cannot be ignored or concealed. It has to be faced. But if we remain trapped in conflict, we lose our perspective. Our horizons shrink, and reality itself begins to fall apart. In the midst of conflict, we lose our sense of the profound unity of reality. When conflict arises, some people simply look at it and go their way as if nothing happened. They wash their hands of it and get on with their lives. Others embrace it in such a way that they become its prisoners. They lose their bearings, project onto institutions their own confusion and dissatisfaction, and thus make unity impossible. But there's also a third way. Obviously, we can discount these first two ways, or we should. We can't just simply wash our hands and go our own happy way. No, we have to be engaged in the world. St. Jose Maria, be in the world. We're called to make a difference in the world. Jesus is with us. Lo, behold, I'm with you always. So yes, with consolation, with peace, and with courage, we should be in the world now. What's going on now in the world? In our way, what's within our reach? But we can't just simply look at it and go on our way as if nothing happened. Wash our hands of it and get on with our life. My comfortable life. No, I had to do something. And that something is not this second way, which would be to embrace conflict in such a way that we become prisoners of it, lose our bearings, project onto institutions or our own confusion or dissatisfaction, making unity impossible. God wants unity. Jesus prayed for unity. God is all-powerful, yes. In some way it can happen. But there's also a third way. So what is Pope Francis, what's he asking of us now, really? And it is the best way to deal with conflict. It is the willingness to face conflict head-on, to resolve it, and to make it a link in the chain of a new process. Blessed are the peacemakers. One of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We're all children of God. St. Jose Maria would say there's only one race, the race of the children of God. And so let's, any conflict that comes our way, that we recognize, let's face it head on, and let's be peacemakers. It's not winning arguments. It's winning hearts. And yes, of course, there's reason, as it goes without saying. We've got to reason our way through conflicts in life, and we see that in the history of humanity. A lot of good things have come about because of good, steady reason, logic, thought, but the heart's got to be there. Indeed, Lord, as St. Jose Maria wrote in this point, I don't ask you to take away my feelings, Lord, because I can use them to serve you with. Well, let's use our feelings now to serve God and our fellow man, not our anger or self-righteousness or laziness, simply going my own way as if nothing happened. Blessed are the peacemakers. In this way, it becomes possible to build communion amid disagreement. But this can only be achieved by those great persons who are willing to go beyond the surface of the conflict and to see others in their deepest dignity. Supernatural outlook. Have the same mind as Christ Jesus. It's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Pope Francis is asking of this of us now. Well, in each and our way, freedom, we have prayer. What does this mean? Okay, we have to pray about it. There's no easy answer. But we have to be with Christ, who's always with us. Lo, behold, I'm with you always to the end of of the age. And so we should have hope, my brother, my sister. We should have hope in these difficult times. And that hope, a theological virtue, it can only be, that can only be recognized, lived with, through prayer, through unity with Christ. So letting the Holy Spirit guide us along. So let's go to our Blessed Mother, one of her titles. Cause of our joy, Queen of Hope. In these times, Mary is with us. I recently saw a painting, wonderful painting in a chapel, right here in New York City. It's a chapel with, it depicts our Blessed Mother and St. Joseph on another panel, and St. Jose Maria on another panel, basically hovering over New York City. It's really nice. You see that, I say, wow, that really helps give one a supernatural outlook. Mary is watching over us. Yes, and what's going on down there in New York City? Is she looking? Well, she's with us. Yes, there's suffering, there's misunderstandings, to say the least. But Mary is with us. St. Joseph, St. Jose Maria, the saints, of course, the Blessed Trinity. So maybe that can help us. So that looking up into the sky, just like Etty, that Jewish girl who was captured, but now she would look to the sky, she said, I'm free. And we too, in our own way, we can, in these days, we can look up, we can look to the heavens. And yes, we know God, we know that you are there with us. Mary, Joseph, we know that you're there with us. So there's no reason to, you know, to give in to the darkness of conflict, but rather, like Pope Francis is encouraging us, let's seek peace precisely by being sons and daughters of God, by living a supernatural life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.